From Georgia Public Broadcasting, we know this is On Second Thought, and we've got another guest here for us. Black and Latinx workers continue to be underrepresented in STEM fields, and that is science, technology, engineering, and math. Black workers make up only 9% in those STEM fields. And to diversify STEM fields, the National Science Foundation is turning to the nation's historically Black colleges and universities. It gave Morehouse College a $1.5 million grant to head up the effort. Lycurgus Muldrow is executive director of Morehouse's HBCU Identity Research Center for STEM. That is an impressive title.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Well, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, we like the title, too.
Diversity aside, STEM industries have had trouble getting qualified workers in general. What is the overall challenge?
Well, let's start from how big the deficit is. Some people say that there's possibly a million more jobs that's needed than students in the pipeline. It starts in K through 12. Children in the United States don't like STEM. There are studies that's done in which we talk to children in the United States and other nations, and children in the United States say, science is hard, math is hard. Students in other countries, like China, for example, where they have more honor students than we actually have students, period, they say, you know, science and math, that's the key to the future. They really have an intrinsic motivation to pursue that. So national reports make statements like, out of 71 nations, United States ranks 38 in actual math competence of the students, ranks 24 in science competence. So basically speaking, starting from K through 12, we just don't have an education system that values STEM. We don't have a system that values education enough.
Well, that is something that educators have been focusing on for a long time. STEM education, it seems like it's been the sort of driving force for the past decade or so. But how about in particular in diverse populations, in African-American schools, in Latino schools, where already it's a challenge to help students graduate in some cases? They're not as well resourced. So how is this grant that you have at Morehouse going to reach back and help sort of make a difference in all of those problems?
The Identity Research Center is geared to develop an intrinsic identity. For instance, if a student sees themselves as a scientist, that's their identity. If they see themselves with an identity that I'm resilient and doesn't matter what happens to me, I'm going to get up and keep on going, then the probability of that student being successful increases. For example, in the United States, 50% of all students that start a STEM major finish a STEM major. In the African-American community, only 25% of African-Americans that start a STEM major finish a STEM major. So the whole work on identity, resilient identity, STEM identity, has been going on for many, many years, but there's not a lot of data that really brings in best practices how to engender a resilient STEM identity. And there's very, very little work that's done with African-Americans or specifically in HBCUs. Mm-hmm. So we're developing a whole model to try to figure out what are the best practices. How do we create a growth mindset, a mindset of, you know, I have grit. I'm going to work hard. I realize my work is going to determine how successful I am. How do we develop an identity that's a resilient identity? It said, well, it doesn't matter what obstacles I have. It doesn't matter if I came from a first-generation college student. I came from a school system where the vast majority of students are on free and reduced lunch, economically disadvantaged. It doesn't matter of that background. I understand what I'm facing, and I'm going to make it regardless.
So this goes far beyond STEM to, you know, in the absence of models, creating a resilient student population. So now this is not Morehouse alone trying to diversify the STEM workforce. You are at the helm of a national effort. Is that correct?
We're at the helm of a national effort that 1.5 million can turn into 9 million in another 2 years. We're working, Morehouse is the lead in this project, but we're working with right now already, we just got funding in August, we're working with 20 HBCUs already. Our goal is to impact at least 50 HBCUs. Not only are we implementing different programs that are proven that were developed at Morehouse to actually work in terms of increasing grit, increasing a growth mindset, we are studying the a large number of implementations that will ultimately give us a theoretical model. This is the best practice for creating STEM resilient identity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, part of your job is encouraging students to develop that drive to work in STEM fields beyond the resilience, just to take on any challenge. Is that something, you know, for you? How did that play out in your own college career?
Well, I'm sort of an interesting study.
We all are.
When I was in high school, my only interest was to play football. And I went out for football, was terrible at it. So I worked hard, I exercised year-round, I did everything I could do. And by the time I graduated from high school, I was one of the top football players in Northeastern section of North Carolina. So when I decided to go to college, I told my father, you know, I'm not going to play football, but I'm going to be an honor roll student. Now, graduated from high school, I had a C-minus average. I kept a C-minus just so that I could stay on the football team. But I realized through football that if I work hard, if I stick to it, if I stay in the midst of what I need to do, I can be successful. So I went to college reading at the seventh grade level, and I graduated 14th in my graduating class and got a full scholarship, actually a Ford Foundation scholarship to go to any graduate school in a PhD program. Obviously, I got my PhD.
Wow. So, but it's one thing if you are driving to become a football star and you're out there on the field and people are cheering for you and you're getting all this positive reinforcement. It's a little different than when you're sitting there grinding through your physics homework.
So part of the thing that we're doing is we got to get away from that. The reality of it is STEM is taught messed up in the United States. STEM is taught like, what's the history of science? What did other people discover? Let's do this cookie-cutter lab that, you know the end of results. You just want to see it work. Now, one of the projects we're doing that we're studying is course-based undergraduate research. In other words, let the students come in and do real research in their course, do real discovery in their course. It's like taking an art major and saying, we're going to teach you about the history of art and give you a degree. Oh, they're going to leave that major. They want to draw. They want to paint. They want to sculpture. So in these courses, so we're doing, Dr. Larry Bloomer is an expert in this. One of the courses we're doing, for example, is phage hunters. An introduction biology course, the students go out and try to discover new viruses that infect bacteria. And if they happen to find one, and they get send off and get the DNA sequence of it, and they do informatics, and if they bioinformatics, which is studying the DNA in the computer, and if they find one, they can publish it. So now what's happening, I see myself as a scientist. Mm-hmm. I'm doing real research. This is what science is about. You create the identity. You create everybody in the sidelines cheering on when the faculty says, wow, you got a publication as a freshman.
Well, Lycurgus, you mentioned that it goes way back to K through 12 and our general education system. So you are also working in this program with high school students, some in Morehouse's pre-freshman bridge summer science program, some in Clayton County public schools. How do these high school programs address some of the barriers in STEM education with so much time passed already?
So actually, I have a number of different grants. The center is only one. So right now, I have a very, very active program going on with 100 middle school students. And this one is funded by Verizon. And what we do is bring them in a summer program all day, you know, during the summer, as well as during the academic year on given Saturdays. We teach them coding, but through creating little gadgets that they can wear. We teach them 3D printing. We teach them identity, for example, with the growth mindset. There are certain characteristics that a person has with a growth mindset. So we ask them in a workshop, what are some of the characteristics of superheroes, black superheroes? And then when they give us that, then we say, those are the characteristics that you need to have in STEM. So we teach them at their level. So what happens if you come to where a student is, give them things that's fun, virtual reality, they're creating virtual reality, then all of a sudden they see themselves as doing this. They realize that this is viable. I can do this. They have success with it, and they have the right mindset and identity to go for.
All right. Kim and Michael are still around the table. I think we all want to join this program so far. Lycurgus Muldrow, he's executive director of the HBCU Identity Research Center for STEM. That's at Morehouse College. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Now, coming up, we're going to hear more innovations in mentorship and getting kids through school and how people in Georgia are combating the Georgia dropout rate. It is Giving Tuesday, after all, and we've got some great nonprofits who are representing and helping kids make it. This is On Second Thought. We'll be back with that right after the break.